last week I started a message leaving the elementary, and I got through almost half of it, I think, because we had the fundraiser last week. And so I felt like the Lord said, pick back up there. So today we want to look at this thought. And the series I'm doing right now, I think I'm going to continue for a while, is Becoming a New Testament Believer. This is what the people in the New Testament age believed. If we'll believe what they believed, Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Today we want to look at this thought. We must know the elementary principles of Christianity, but we can go on to know Holy Spirit authority, power, and revelation knowledge in our lives. And it seems to me that most Christians get saved and some Spirit-filled, and that's as far as they ever get. And they're really missing the best that the Lord has to offer. We must know we're born again, but we need to go on to perfection. And when the Bible says perfection, it means maturity. There are no perfect Christians. So this is a little review. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by the time you ought to be teaching, you need someone to teach you again. In other words, you're going backwards. You're not going forwards. Again, the first principles are the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, which, of course, he's referring to the word of God. Unskilled in the word of God, in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The key is to be skilled in the word. Can you say amen? To be skilled in the word of God so we can walk in victory and win our battles. If I didn't know the word of God the way I do, I would be a total disaster. And even when the Lord speaks to me and the board and many of you to step out and raise $40,000, I mean, I have to get back in the word of God and build my faith. Yay. Because Dale's telling me, not this time, you're not going to do it this time. And I've got to build my faith with the word of God. You've got to become skilled in the word of God that you know how to have victory, how to build your faith, be skilled in the word of God. So when the devil attacks you and you're in such pain, you can barely pray, how you get healed. You have to be skilled in the word of God and already know how to do that. Amen. Standing on the promises. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, as we practice the word, our senses are exercised to discern what is right and wrong, what is good and what is bad. You can even have your senses exercised to discern good and bad people. And if you have any kind of a business, you need to have a discerning to know who to hire and who not to hire. And a born-again believer that is mature in Christ can have that kind of discerning. I do. And I've made some serious mistakes in people, but it was because I didn't listen to what was going on in here. I know. I just need to listen. You see, we become skilled in the Word of God by praying over and meditating on the Word constantly. I pray and meditate on the Word of God about 3 hours a day. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying you have to spend some serious time in it or you're not going to walk in victory. It's that simple. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It does not come by watching Gunsmoke on television or whatever's on television today. We must get into God's incubator. Now, listen. We must get into God's incubator and metamorphose into a mighty man or woman of God. It's like a caterpillar being metamorphosed into a butterfly, and that takes a process. The incubator is, as I said last week, the incubator is our prayer closet where we pray over and meditate on God's word. This is where the revelations I have that come from that I preach, like all of this right here, right now. It came from my time, and not bragging or complaining, I'm just telling you, I learned it all the hard way. You know, you have to spend some time. Well, I just don't have time. Do you have time to be a failure? That takes a lot of time. You see, there in that prayer closet, meditating on the word, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. It says to renew your mind. That's the way you do it, is with the word of God. You can go into the prayer closet, meditating on the word, and come out believing something totally different. Amen. There we are transformed by the renewing of our minds with the word. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I mentioned this last week. I talk about this a lot. Why? Because while I was fasting and praying all by myself, I was reading the word of God, meditating on the word of God, and God gave me that verse, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. That verse has totally changed my life forever. It was a good chance I wouldn't even be able to preach today if I hadn't been in the prayer closet and got this revelation word from God. And it says, Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that when he came, he'd take our infirmities and our sicknesses. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you believe I'm still here? I said, well, yeah, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the age. If two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yeah, I believe you're here. Do you believe I'm here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? Truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains, his wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, his chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed, made whole. Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill that prophecy? No. But yes, yes, I saw it. Then he got very personal, said, do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? Of course it was no. I grew up a good old Baptist boy. I was spirit-filled, but I still didn't really believe in the power of God. And so I saw it. I said, yes, I do. And that was about 46, 47 years ago, and I haven't missed preaching one time in all those years because of sickness. The devil attacks me and tries to keep me from preaching. But I pray through because I know how to stand on the promises and get healed. At the end of the fast, I was getting really sick. Things like Friday or Saturday. And devil said, ha ha, I got you this time, buddy. I just sat down in the middle of the floor and started doing my thing in the middle of the night. And I began to meditate on these promises, begin to pray over them and meditate on them and pray the way the Lord's taught me to pray. And all of a sudden, God healed me. And I know some of you may have been praying, Lord, let somebody else preach Sunday, but ha, ha, ha. I got healed. Y'all pay attention. So why are you doing this? To brag? No, I want you. God wants you to know you can go to the next level. Every one of you. And there's another level for each of us who are walking pretty good in victory. We still can all go to another level. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. And I'm always constantly disappointed in me. And a guy's been serving God as long as I have, you'd think he'd be walking on water. Hey, and this house they gave us have a swimming pool, and I'm still trying to learn how to walk on water. It has a purpose. You see, a lot of people have been healed because of the revelation God gave me, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I've prayed for all of you with great faith that I wouldn't have had or didn't have until God gave me that revelation when I was in the incubator, in the prayer closet, meditating on God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God so you can ignore it. That's not what he says. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. So if you're not spending time in the word of God, you can't become complete. That the man of God or woman of God, when the Bible says man, it means male or female. Man means male and female most of the time in the word of God. That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You do not get in the word of God, you're not going to be thoroughly equipped to get healed, to walk in victory, to have success in your career the way you want to. Thoroughly equipped for every good work by the word of God. We can be, y'all pay attention? It's awful quiet. We can be equipped for every good work by knowing the word of God. To be skilled in the word of God means we know how to use the word to build our faith, to win our battles, to produce peace in the storm, to move mountains, and to drive out demons. You see, the word enables us to win. With his stripes, I'm healed. Devil, get out of here. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. I got through high school and college. I think I have that here somewhere in the notes. By quoting the word of God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm telling you, it got me through college and even seminary. Can you say amen? And gets me through a lot of things today. And when I look like it's not working, I start saying, I can do this. I can do all things. The devil's telling me, well, you're getting older and you can't do it anymore. Watch me, devil. I'll show you. I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, we must also earnestly desire and cultivate the best gifts and graces. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Jesus Christ, verse 14, Jesus Christ who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Listen, zealous for good works. He has designed you to do good works. And that don't apply just to spiritual things. He has designed you to be successful at work, but you're going to run into hurdles. You're going to run into roadblocks. You're going to run into people that hate you. And you have to know how to take authority over those situations, take authority over those demons and demonized people and put them in the dirt by faith. Can you say amen? You see, he wants us to be zealous of good works. Are you content to be just where you are? Don't be. Pray that God will use you in a greater way. And no matter what your career is, he can use you there to bless people in every kind of way, including bringing them to Christ. He wants to purify and equip us to do the works that he did. You say, well, I'm just not good enough. I need to be purified. Well, that's not your problem, is it? It's his problem to purify. That's what he says. He came to purify us, to be a prize. So just start out doing what God tells you to do and believe God to purify you and change you and make you the person that God wants you to be. You see, we must spend time in prayer in the word to be equipped. Jesus says, the works I do, ye shall do. The works that I do, ye shall do. John chapter 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He says, the believer, not the apostle. I'm just amazed. Preachers still preach that. Well, when the apostles died, the power died off with them. That is the most ridiculous, ungodly thing, and one of the most contrary things to the Word of God I've ever read in my life. Jesus said, he that believes on me, not the apostle. And by the way, remember the apostles, when they tried to cast a demon out of a little boy, they couldn't do it. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your littleness, the littleness of your faith, because you don't have faith. And when they become people that believe truly in Christ and his power, then they started working miracles. Why in the world don't preachers read the Bible? It's right there. He, she that believes on me, the works that I do, he, she shall do. Period. Amen. 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 So, boy, you're smart. No, God just revealed all this to me when I was in the incubator. And I keep getting in it. Can you say amen? Because we are believers, we can do what Jesus did. But this does not happen without Holy Spirit revelation and anointing. I wouldn't be preaching this message if I hadn't spent time in his presence, meditating on his word, and allowing him to give me wisdom and revelation concerning these matters. Amen. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with his word. Amen. And being in his presence. To be transformed, we must be in his presence and we must be in the word. My son, attend to my words. Incline the ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart for the life of those that find them and health of their flesh. Life and health comes from the word of God. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. What does that mean? It means when you meditate on it, it'll heal you. It'll deliver you. It'll work miracles in you. Because it's not a dead word. It's alive. It's working. How many thinking you enjoying this word so far? Amen. One, two, three. Okay. And it's just the word of God. We must believe and do the word. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces. Cultivate. How do you do that? As God begins to use you, as the Holy Spirit begins to work through you, step out and let Him do it. Don't hold back. Don't stop it. Can you say amen? But if you make a mistake, ask the Lord to forgive you and start over. We will never operate in the miracle power of the Holy Spirit if we do not desire the gifts and spend time in God's presence. You have to love people and want to help people, or you won't desire the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life, is to help you, to heal you, to restore you. And we need to desire those gifts so we can be a blessing to each other. I need for you to operate in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and that's really what the gifts mean. Manifest the Holy Spirit to help me, to bless people in this church. You see, we cultivate these gifts by using them. This is spiritual maturity, living to do God's work. That's spiritual maturity. Still living for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. That's why a lot of us are not seeing the miracle power of God, because the power's in us, but we're not stirring up. Well, how do you stir it up? And therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. By the laying on of the hands, people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive the individual gifts that way. The Holy Spirit is the gift. And what we call gifts is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us, which is the Holy Spirit working through us to bless other people. Amen. They did not give the gift of healing by laying on of hands or prophecy. They laid hands on for people to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Read the Bible when you have nothing else to do. Therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The gift is the Holy Spirit. We stir up, here you go, we stir up the Holy Spirit by praying in the Spirit, meditating on His Word, and worshiping Him. In other words, spending time in His presence, meditating on His Word, praising Him, loving on Him, and thanking Him for all the miracles He's already worked. Be careful, anxious, worried, fretful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your heart and mind. You can pray through to get that peace, and then you know you got it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we asked or think. Listen. We get hung up on that first part, but listen, according to the power that works within us, that power is already working in you if you're born again. You can't be born again without the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that is for power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But every born again believer has the Holy Spirit in them, or they're not saved. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons and daughters of God. You see, His power is already at work in you. And it's between you and God what you're going to do with it. But He cannot work miracles through us if we're full of fear and doubt. Most Christians seem to be walking around in fear and doubt. Oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen next. Well, if you really get full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word of God, you can change what happens next. In a lot of cases, you really can. For us to have faith, we must know and believe the Word. We build our faith by believing and speaking God's Word. As I just said earlier, I got through college and seminary by saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And the more I quoted it, the more I believed it. So you get a promise from God and you speak it every day. Amen. Over and over again. And as you do, it builds your faith. We must learn to believe and speak the Word instead of our doubts. If you want to be able to do the works that He did, you have to start controlling what you say. I don't care how I feel, I say, with His stripes I'm healed. And I used to tell people how bad I felt and how sick I was, hoping to get sympathy. I decided I'd rather get healed than have sympathy, so I don't do that anymore. Okay, so I don't do that anymore. I don't tell people. how bad I feel. I tell people, with his stripes I'm healed. Well, how you doing? You look like you're dying. With his stripes I'm healed. You know, most people don't even care anyway. So why bother to tell them how bad you feel? It might be people around here might care, but out there in the world, they don't care. So why kill your faith by speaking negatively if the people don't even care? Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more. And so we need to put our faith in him and begin to believe that. And instead of speaking our doubts, speak our word. He said, well, how do I stop my doubts? Speak the word. With his stripes I'm healed. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. 1 Corinthians, what time is it? I think I'm going to skip over that. I can get that another time. Thank you, Jesus. Yay. I still got a long ways to go. I don't want to run out of time on this one. As spiritually mature Christians, we walk in the miracle power. We can walk in the miracle power and authority of the Holy Spirit. I can take authority over demons and devils. I can take authority over demonized people. I can take authority over thunderstorms, tornadoes. I can, I have, and I do. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, then let the tornado blow your house away. That's your business. But there was a report. A tornado was coming through. I was out in Farragut, and it was coming right by me out there. And I was standing. This house faces the golf course, and it has windows about 15 feet tall. And if I didn't know better, I'd think I'm a big shot. But guess who I am? I'm Jed Clampett. And I'm standing in front of those big old windows. And I'm going to tell you, it's like there's going to cave in on me, break in, and blow all over me any minute. The hell from that tornado that was hitting those windows so hard, it felt like it was going to break. I stood in front of those windows. I said, you foul, lying devil, I rebuke you. I curse you. You're not touching this house. You're not touching me. You're not going to mess with our members, their house. I take authority over you. You're not touching that church. You go by that church, and don't you touch any of us. That tornado came right down. I never seen such a mess in my life. Came right down Bob Gray, tore all the trees down. It was days before you could actually even drive through there, you know. And then it tore down there all the trees here on the corner, blew the top off the gas tanks over here, went right down to old Cedar Bluff and down Middlebrook, and all it did here was blow the lid off the trash can. But I don't believe that. Then you're believing the devil. You got to decide who you're going to believe. The lying devil, or this word I'm reading to you. That's what faith is. It's believing what it says and praying until it gets off the page and gets in here. And if you haven't done that, you haven't really got the word in, you don't have a clue to what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, you can do it. And there's a whole bunch of people sitting right here that's operating that kind of miracle power. That's why several people in this room are now becoming millionaires. They've learned how to take authority over demons and devils. And when they have a problem at work, instead of panic and crying and whining like a bunch of babies, they take authority over it, tell the devil where to go, and they have success. Amen. Amen. Decide who you're going to listen to. And don't get mad at me for doing what God told me to do. He told me to come and tell you this, and it takes a lot of guts. Well, it just takes faith enough to obey God. Can you say amen? Amen? Anyway, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. A spiritually mature Christian, we can walk in the miracle power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, and this tornado was just what? Last year. This is not something from decades ago. This power still works. Behold, I give you authority. Now, is that true or not? Jesus said, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. See, we read this, and we take it like it's mystical or metaphorical, and it just doesn't hit us. This is real. It's real. My word is spirit and life. It's not lies. word is spirit and life. Now, Lord, you have to help me hurry up now. I'm getting behind. Okay. Been behind for a little while. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You may have a little pain, but it won't destroy you. That's what he means. Mature Christians don't sit back and wait on God to deal with the devil. They use their authority to stop him and drive them out. And why else would God Jesus give you that authority if he didn't intend for you to use it? 2 Corinthians 10:3, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Is that true or not? Do I have power to pull down strongholds? Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything in your head that contradicts the word of God, you got to take authority over it. And some of you right now, you're having a lot of contradiction going on. The devil's saying, this is not so. He don't want you to know you have authority over him. You think he's stupid? He wants to stop you from believing this. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, everything that contradicts the word of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As I said earlier, sometimes you just have to replace those thoughts with a word, with a scripture. You see, we cast down every thought that contradicts the truth of God's word. All these crazy thoughts going through your head, if it's contrary to the word of God, cast them down. Bring those thoughts into captivity and start quoting the word instead of listening to the devil's thoughts. Demonic thoughts. Who does these things? Who takes authority over demons and devils and pull down the strongholds? Who does those things? We do. But it says. It says you, us, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every, you do it through the power of God. You don't sit back and wait for God to do it. I didn't sit back and wait for God to tell that tornado where to go. I had authority to tell it where to go. I said, you go right past and go down there and tear somebody else's church down. You're not tearing ours down. I didn't say that. Thank you, Jesus. I think a lot of people would have lost their homes if I hadn't been over praying. And that has nothing to do with me. That's just me being obedient to the word of God. I don't really have a choice. We must know and use the authority we have. We can speak to demons and watch them go. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then start doing it if you hadn't already. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. If you think I'm telling some pretty crazy stories now, I've got other stories to make your hair stand up. Mark 11, 23, if you have hair. If you have here. Mark 11, 23, truly I tell you, whoever, say whoever. Does whoever mean apostle? Does whoever mean disciples? Does whoever mean preachers? Or does whoever mean whoever? Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. If we have a no-so word in our hearts, we can move mountains by speaking to them. I just don't go out and start speaking to mountains. I pray in my prayer closet, and when God drops a word, he gives me a no-so revelation in my heart, like I have authority over tornadoes. You know, I have authority over demons and devils. When I get that in my heart and I know it, I step out and do it. And it works. If we have a no-so word in our hearts. And that's why you need to be an incubator. That's why I can do some of the crazy things you hear me talk about, is because in that incubator, in the prayer closet, meditating and praying over the Word of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Lord puts these things in my heart. And then when I come out prayer closet, I know I have authority. And I'm just telling you, if you don't have a time for God's Word and getting in His presence and pray every day, you're really missing it. God can give you ideas about your work, your job, your career. He can give you ideas in 1 second that would change your world. He can tell you exactly how to do those things you need to do. And you say, well, my work is sacred. It doesn't matter. The work he's called you to do, no matter what you call it, he doesn't see it as secular. He sees it as his work. If you're a roofer, you're his roofer, and that's you're working on his roofs, so to speak. They may belong to other people, but they're still his. If we have a no, in the larger sense of the word, if we have a no-so word in our hearts, we can move mountains. You say, well, how did I get that no-so word? I just told you. Getting into the word of God and meditating. And what time is it? But many years ago, we had a concert scheduled. I think it was a Friday night. And there was a terrible snowstorm coming through Arkansas headed our way. And it's predicted to go all the way to New York, I guess all the way to Maine, come through here first, as storms normally do. And it was dumping down a foot or 2 foot of snow all the way. Now, you can look up the old newspapers, and this was reported. I have a copy of the one of the newspapers that I made a picture of in my phone somewhere. I can just find it. And this storm was coming, and everybody said, man, you're not going to be able to get out in Knoxville. You're not going to be able to do anything. And I said, Lord, if that storm comes through here, we're going to lose a lot of money on this concert, $1,000, because we have to cancel the thing. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He spoke to me. Are y'all listening? I didn't just go out and start rebuking it. I heard God say to me, curse the storm. So what? Why don't you curse it? No, he said, you curse it. I said, you don't have to believe me. This is one of my stories. If you read out of the Bible, you better believe it. But actually, this backs up the Bible, doesn't it? So I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not coming. You're not going to shut down this concert. You go around Knoxville in the name of Jesus Christ. That thing split just outside of Knoxville, and it went on both sides of us. Amen. Go look it up. It's in the old newspapers. Right. Went right around us, regrouped on the other side of Knoxville, and went on up through the north, putting down one foot to 2 feet of snow all the way. Amen. And it made headlines. Knoxville was the only place. Well, that was just a coincidence. You know, it's amazing how many coincidences you have when you start praying and meditating on the Word. And I got another story, too, about that. If you don't believe that, you really wouldn't believe some of these others. Jesus spoke to the storm. I can speak to the storm. Amen. He that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do. And she as well. Jesus spoke to the storm. I can speak to the storm. So why aren't Christians doing these things? They are still in elementary school. They're not really diving into the Word of God. You see, I believed all the things that all the denomination preachers preach. I believed it all and preached it all until I started getting into the prayer closet, fasting and praying, meditating on the Word of God. And that's when all of this totally changed. Amen. I'm preaching almost exactly opposite now to what I did many years ago. Why? Because I got in the prayer closet. And God began to reveal things to me and show me things. I've had people that accuse me, well, you've been reading some of those crazy charismatic books. I said, I won't say what I said. I said, no, I got it from reading the Bible, praying and meditating. I didn't get it from, I'm too stubborn to listen to preachers, just like some of you. You're not going to believe anything I say. And you get in the Word of God and let God prove it to you. And I just say, good for you. Go do it. Leave elementary school and start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. The clock is my number one enemy. Mark 16:17. We know the early church. No, let me say this first. We know the early church did these things. And I'm believing that the Knoxville Christian Center to be a New Testament church, that we have these things, and we do have them to some degree right now, but I believe we can go to the next level. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Some people, well, this is not in the best manuscripts. Well, it certainly is. I've studied it very thoroughly. It is. But even if it's not, this is still exactly what the New Testament church did. This is what the disciples did, all of it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out. Notice it says they that believed, and say apostles. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. No, and they shall recover. Yay. You see, the apostles did all of these things. Early church, the believers did all these things. The deacons, remember the deacons, you know, Stephen and Philip, those guys, they all operate in the miracle power of God. This is what we can do. Amen. And John 14, verse 12, and many of us are doing it to some degree, but you have to deal with all the doubt and unbelief. You almost have to beat some people over the head with the word before they believe anything. And you can't make people believe. John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do, and greater. And then he says, the believer, not just the apostles, if it is not possible for believers to do these things, why did Jesus say, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do? If it's impossible for us to do his works, why did he say that? Let's all stand.